Welcome to Money Moves. We are here trying to help you make sense of your money. No jargon, no judgment, actionable financial advice. We always start the show talking about something that's relevant in our lives. And Mark, you're about to go on vacation next month. Are you getting psyched?
But I think as we spoke recently, you know, when you're traveling with a kid, it's not so much a vacation, it's more of a trip.
Yeah.
But definitely excited.
It's interesting there, as much as the prices are up, people are still traveling. Now, they may choose a staycation. They may choose to be driving someplace, but now gas prices are up again. I found an awesome tool on AAA when it comes to gas prices, where you can basically say, here's the beginning point of my trip.
Yeah.
Here's the end point. Mm-hmm. Here's my car model and make. Tell me where to stop for gas along the way.
Not something I would ever do.
I know. I wouldn't either because I'm lazy. But I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, now, for folks who are traveling, let's do a quick worth it or not worth it.
Okay.
Do you buy travel insurance?
I never have, no.
I always buy travel insurance. Why? Because I have an 86-year-old mother. And things happen. And so I think that travel insurance can make sense if you yourself have some sort of medical condition. If you have an elderly parent, it can certainly help. But, you know, for most people like you, like if something happens, you'll rebook the trip. You'll be able to use it within a year. If you don't think you're going to reuse it, then that's fine. Most people don't need travel insurance.
No, not to say I never won't, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Next, worth it or not worth it? Converting currency here before you leave or rolling the dice and going to your destination?
100% roll the dice. I would not do it here.
I was talking about this with some folks and they were like, oh my God, I always get money before I go away.
No, I don't.
Mostly because I'm lazy. It's such a cashless world in many respects that like I don't even find the need for it. And what you can do is you can go to your bank and be like, what's in the ATM network? Where I'm going, that's what I do.
Well, I mean, this is a whole separate topic, but okay, take out currency here or there, do it there. But take out currency altogether, I haven't taken out any foreign currency. I was thinking about this. Mm. The last time I took out foreign currency of any kind was in 2013.
Wow.
And I, you know, we're overseas every year,
right?
Probably at least twice a year. There's no need. You don't need cash anymore.
I mean, it's very rare. Wait a minute. Do you not tip in a hotel room? Cheap bastard.
There's ways to tip without having to leave cash.
What are you talking about? You're in a hotel room. How are you leaving a tip?
I mean.
You are so
all
cheap.
I can tell you. No, we definitely tip. We are good tippers, but we do not take out any foreign currency. Maybe if we get to a city and there's an ATM, we'll take out a few bucks.
That's what I do.
But, you know, and for us nowadays, it seems like we're really going to Asia a lot. Let me tell you, Asia is a cashless society.
I know.
You don't need it at all.
Yeah. I mean, when we went to India, and by the way, the US dollar was so strong that people asked to be paid in dollars. They didn't want rupees. So right. There's that. Okay, last one for you, Mark. Should somebody who's watching, who's done pretty well in their investments this year,
yep,
or maybe has enough beyond their emergency reserve fund, okay to sell something, pay a capital gain to pay for the trip, yay or nay?
100%. That's why it's there.
That's right. Guys, stop this. Stop it. Have some fun along the way. If you're lucky enough to be able to have it, then do it.
That's what it's for.
That is what it's
YOLO,
for.
YOLO.
Okay, the next jillionaire up for grabs is Greg. He joins us from Philadelphia. Okay, Greg, let's get down to the most important question.
I know
question.
Where you're going.
Stop
every
that.
Time, every time we have a
Stop
caller
it.
From Philly.
Best cheesesteak.
I'm out in the suburbs. I'll have to go to Dallas Andros.
Okay. We know we talked a little bit before we came on the air, and the most important factoid to know is that Greg is an Eagles fan. So it is early days. It's summer. And just tell us, Eagles this year, how are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. Anything less than probably the Super Bowl will be a disappointment. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
High expectations.
Yes. Mark and I are both Jets fans. So you can just, you don't even care anymore, do you?
Then.
I know. It's scary. All right. So, Greg, let's get to your jillionaire question. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. So I'm 49 years old. I think I've done a decent job of saving for retirement. Just changed jobs last year. Enjoy my job. Want to see if I can maybe retire in the next 5 to 7 years.
What? What are you going to do with yourself?
Good question. So maybe it will be a little bit longer. And then two, I want to see if there's any kind of pointers you can give me in my portfolio, because I've probably only gotten serious about managing it in the past couple of years.
Okay. So are you single, married, partnered? What's going on?
Single with an 11-year-old. So I have about 7 more years left of support payments.
Okay.
Not that he's counting.
No, exactly. I have seven. I have 7 years, 1 month, and 22 days. Okay. So why 5 to 7 years? Like, I don't get that. Like, okay. And also, this is not a judgment thing. It's just that I am not wired that way. So I'm kind of jealous that you're thinking this way. Is it, I want to call it quits in 5 to 7 years, or I want to do something different in 5 to 7 years?
Yeah, I probably would get bored if I called it quits. So, I mean, anything, a school janitor, a bus driver, wow. I would still do something to keep me occupied, but maybe on my own schedule.
Okay. Can you just describe the feeling that you have around this? We hear from people all the time who are, you know, in their 40s and they are like, I can't do what I'm doing. I want to do something different. Do you want to feel more valued? Do you feel like your organization, whatever you're doing now, that it's gotten too much? Has the work gotten harder? Like, give us a little bit of the emotional aspect behind this.
No, I'm fully remote now, so I do have a fairly flexible schedule. But again, I think I'd rather just do stuff on my own time and not be committed to a, you know, a normal 9-to-5 day job.
Okay. So have you saved a boatload of money?
I think a decent amount.
Give us an idea-ish.
So rollover IRA 1.9.
Oh,
look at this.
Hello. Okay.
And we'll do the two main accounts. So the rollover IRA is 1.9, and then in a brokerage, 800.
Mm-hmm. And you're paying child support. What about for college? What happens for this kid for college?
I have a 529 with 300.
Okay, so you're good.
300.
That should be set.
Yeah, you're
beautiful.
Set.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Are you like a miser? Do you not spend money? Like, what's going on?
On average, we're looking at maybe $6,000 a month, so in mortgage and car and some other things, but nothing extravagant. A couple vacations a year.
And you don't work in like a place where you get a pension, right?
My former job, I do have one.
Okay, so tell us about the pension. What's the nuance of the pension?
I could take a lump sum right now. It'd be about $200.
Okay.
Or the monthly would be $2,600. Starting in 2039, so another 13 years.
2039. I don't want to like go too detailed, but like, is it a municipality, is it government, or is it a private company?
It's a private company. I did do some Googling to see what would happen if they did file for bankruptcy or liquidate, but it sounds like it may be protected, but I don't think they would be in that position. But I'm just thinking, hey, do I just take the lump sum now and just kind of take ownership of it and invest it myself?
I mean, you could. I mean, it's like it seems like you're very comfortable investing. So if anyone else is watching, listening about this, like when you have that lump sum versus the consistent income, the reason I asked, is it a municipality or government or a private company? Is if a company goes broke, you can lose your pension. Like it can go away or you're covered for a much smaller amount. I think that because he's got so much money already saved and you're comfortable managing it, I'm sort of inclined to do the lump sum. Are you, Mark?
Yeah. And also, I was also thinking of his child, like, you know, way down the road, you know, if he takes the pension, you know, God forbid something happens to our pal Greg here, you know, the pension goes away, right?
Right. And so that's really important also. Good point. So I think, you know, you don't spend a lot of money. You've saved a lot of money. You'll do something. I mean, it sounds like he's in pretty good shape. What is the key to all of this? The guy doesn't spend much money. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Greg, do you have like some, is there some fear of spending money that we don't know about?
No, just, I don't know, live a pretty basic life, work, go to the gym, coach my kids' sports, pretty simple, take some vacations.
Are you not dating? There's a lot of money being spent on dating. Are you not, are you like, oh, you're one of these people, you know what? First date is like, oh, I want to take a walk. This guy's not spending any money.
I feel like we should introduce Greg to our recent caller, Jenna.
Greg, we just spoke to somebody who's a single woman on the West Coast, so it could be a long distance relationship, but she is financially independent.
She's got 1.8.
Yeah. So it's so nice. Okay. It's like the numbers match up.
Do you like Greg, do you like Lady Gaga?
Why's that? Indifferent.
She's a Lady Gaga fan. You could find Lady Gaga very appealing with a girl with $1.8 million. I think that this is good. You know, I think we've got a, we, Mark and I have always talked about that we wanted to have a dating service.
Yeah, for years.
For years, that we just thought, we know so many couples have problems around money. So we thought, we're the perfect people to set you up. So what are you doing now to manage the investments?
Yeah, I guess two other questions. In the brokerage account I have, I've been fairly lazy with that and just kind of let that, I set it up back when I was in my 20s and had some mutual funds and just kind of let that grow. They're terribly inefficient mutual funds.
Why is that?
They kick off a lot of capital gains. So every year I'm getting hit now with capital gains taxes. Should I just liquidate these funds and move that over to, you know, Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, and just an ETF?
If you were to do that, of course, you'll have to pay
the bullet.
You'll have to like bite the bullet and pay capital gains taxes because you have a very low cost basis. So it's tough to do that. That's a tough decision to make. I mean, I would not reinvest my dividends. That's what I would stop doing and make sure that you're building up your cash. What you can do eventually is, you know, it might be an interesting thing for you to consider, like when you stop working and your tax bracket falls a little bit, that could be a time where we start to cycle out of it. If there's some like really crappy holding that you're like, oh my God, I own the blankety blank fund. It sucks. It's throwing off so much capital gains. Then you can sell a fund and replace it with an index fund or an ETF that's more efficient. What's your highest tax bracket? Do you know?
35.
Oh, so you're making a lot of money. These are killing you.
I guess another, I do have 250 sitting in cash.
Oh, let's get that to work, man.
I was thinking about, I have one investment property. I was thinking about buying another, but at this point, I should probably just invest it.
I would rather... Personally, it's not like the real estate market's on fire right this second. If you found a great deal and it was an investment property versus a fund, maybe. But like if you've got some money in cash, it's beyond what you need in cash, then I would get that invested and don't reinvest the dividends from the old clunky funds. Get them, get building up your cash and keep buying new ones. If you want to sell one bad performer, maybe, but he's going to get whacked.
He is going to get whacked, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's young. I mean, we got a long ways to go here. If it's driving him nuts and they're really crappy funds.
How can we give one name of a fund so we can check it out?
I think Lord Abbott, something. Around
I knew it. You were going to say Lord Abbott. I swear to God, I knew. I sold Lord Abbott in 1997. I mean, look, you have an embedded gain. You might say to yourself, ugh, screw it. I'm out. Sell it. Pay the tax, move on. Maybe you do that like for one fund at a time. You scale it in and you say once a year, I'll take, I mean, maybe it's in December. You'll see what the situation is with the tax, with taxes. And what's your second question?
Well, it's a minor one, but I guess I do have a car loan for $30K. Should I just pay that off?
What's the interest rate?
5.79%.
What? Pay it off.
What kind of car?
Oh, look at you.
Just a Volvo. Nothing to
a Volvo? Oh. No wonder you're not dating.
Is it a wagon?
No, it's SUV.
I'm cracking myself up. It's only when worse things where I'm driving a Subaru. Like I had a friend of mine, this guy, this straight guy, and he's driving a Subaru. I'm like, you know you're driving a lesbian's car?
Is his name Mark?
No, that's not you. That was not you. Bought it as a family car. This guy was like a single straight dude. Anyway, get yourself, pay that that sucker off and
You have the cash.
You have the cash to do it. Let's,
for
come on.
30 grand. Get rid of it.
Let's go. And otherwise, you seem to be in very good shape.
Kicking ass.
Kicking ass. By the way, is it bad that all these amazing people are coming on the air with us? Is it going to make people feel... Let me ask you a question. Give some advice to younger people who are watching this and saying, why is this asshole even talking to me? Because I'm never going to be that. Did you grow up with money or was this all you?
Nah, it's all me. Grew up middle class family, you know, average income. Again, I controlled my spending and started investing early. Just let it compound, really.
I mean, it's such simple advice, but it works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's another happy jillionaire. All right, Greg, go birds, as they say.
Go birds.
Go birds. Good luck. Get back in touch with us if you need anything, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Life sure doesn't come with a roadmap, but what if you had a guide? I'm Tamsin, and on The Tamsin Show, I'm here to help you navigate midlife, menopause, career shifts, and everything in between. Like a best friend or a big sister who's been there, with expert guests, real conversations, and actionable advice. This is your go-to podcast for living better, loving stronger, and taking charge of your well-being. Listen to The Tamsin Show wherever you get your podcasts, because it's time to own it.
You know, Mark, it is very interesting. We've been talking to a lot of people who are in such great shape lately, and it feels a little distorted. And I just want to bring up a YouTube comment that we got from someone who's 29 years old, who's been out of work since he was 25. And it's been a tough thing for the 20-somethings. And he basically says he doesn't believe in the myth of the American dream. He doesn't believe in the stock market. It's kind of for rich people. I hear this. I really do, because I think that there are a lot of people who feel like they made great choices. Maybe they went to college. Maybe they borrowed the right amount of money, but the economy has not rewarded them. So how can we renew this guy's faith?
Yeah, you're always talking about how, you know, you graduated at the wrong time or in the wrong circumstances, and you're kind of just behind the eight ball. And you're right. You know, we tend to talk to a lot of jillionaires, a lot of people that are well off and are doing well. That's not the case for everyone. It's tough. If you're 25 years old, 29 years old, you've been out of work for 4 years. What do you tell someone like that? Keep going, keep plugging away.
Well, I think what's good is that he's lucky. He's been getting some help from his family.
Yeah.
I do think that these are cyclical problems, and meaning that the cycle will turn. I would not say the stock market is rigged. The stock market is really based on the ingenuity of entrepreneurs, people who are taking these companies public, and there's great data that support it. The problem is that this guy is not actually able to use the stock market.
Yeah. What I would say to this person, I don't know if it's a guy or gal, but this person, 29 years old, time is still on his or her side.
I agree.
Get a job. I don't care if you're just investing up to the match, whatever your company, but just start investing little by little. Time is on your side. And I promise you, fast forward to when you're in your 40s, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? It's not rigged.
And I also think that it is important to take a job, not the perfect job.
Just get started,
and hopefully you'll be able to get health insurance. Hopefully you'll be able to get a little bit of your toe in the water for an investment account through your retirement account. And come back on the air with us. Maybe we can kind of coach you through it. Because you know what, Mark? I do think a lot of this is luck. Mm-hmm. And if you graduate at the wrong time, we know that earnings don't keep pace for the first 10 years of your career, but people do recover. And that is the good news. So if you've got a question or a comment, you know, you can always leave a comment in the YouTube comments. I won't be watching that because, Mark, why won't I be reading the YouTube comments?
A little too thin-skinned.
Very thin-skinned. Please. I mean, the chairs, it was enough. It was enough with the chairs, okay? I heard it loud and clear. But thank you so much for writing, and we are cheering for you.
Keep your head up.
Keep your head up, man. We're with you. Okay, gang, it is time for the TikTok takedown. This is when Mark and I watch a crazy social media video that you guys send us. You do that by going to jillonmoney.com, uploading anything from Instagram Reels, from TikTok, that is talking about a way to make money or save money, and maybe it's tantalizing to you and you want us to kind of give you an idea of whether it's legitimate or not. And Mark, today we have another video.
A recidivist guest?
A recidivist guest at Ben Kelly One. Now, for those of you who did not watch the previous episode, just know that this was the guy who said you could build your empire buying laundromats from people who wanted to retire with other people's money, and you could get a small business loan for that. And we kind of took that apart a little bit, not to throw shade at SBA loans, but to just say that things aren't always as easy as seen on a screen. So today we've got our friend at Ben Kelly one more time. So let's do it with at Ben Kelly One.
How to make $400,000 buying an accounting firm, and I'm not an accountant. I'm going to show you exactly how you can buy $400,000 in cash flow through the purchase of an accounting firm with no CPA license, no nothing. Well, neither am I. No need to be, because I can hire or promote someone who is. Yeah. An accounting firm at that size can do between 40 to 55% in cash flow, which would be $400,000 to $550,000 a year in profit. So you can spend $1 million to make a half a million.
Mark, my head hurts. This one hurts. I'm going to report this guy to the AICPA immediately.
I keep waiting for something good from this guy.
I know.
Not happening.
So, okay. How easy is it to buy $1 million accounting firm?
Let's go do it.
First of all, $1 million accounting firm that's cash flowing $400,000 or $500,000 a year, there's no way that's happening.
No way.
Are they selling it?
Jeez.
Why would they sell it to you, Bister?
That's an incredible investment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is great. But at Ben Kelly One, why would they sell a firm that is cash flowing that? So here's what is possible that I could imagine. You're a young CPA working at a firm. This is how this works. You would say to your boss, hey, man, you're like 68 years old. Tax season sucks so bad. Maybe we could work out a plan so that I could over time buy the practice from you. We'll have to get an outside firm to help
valuation.
Do a valuation. I'm going to need some help. I can put some money down, but would you be willing to hold some paper, basically extend a loan to me? Or maybe we can have the bank that you guys use in this firm to help me finance this. And we can talk about how slowly I can purchase this firm. You'll get some money. You'll stick around so the clients stay here. By the way, if you found out that at Ben Kelly One bought your accounting firm,
bye-bye.
And I don't have an accounting law, I am not a CPA. Well, why am I staying if I'm the client?
God.
This one is, this is almost like, it's not even like it's too good to be true. It's impossible. Again, if something is cash flowing that well, if something is throwing off that much money.
You don't get rid of it.
They're not getting rid of it. And they're certainly not selling it to a non-CPA. They're likely turning to a larger firm and saying, hey, let's merge. Let's talk about how we can have a merger of equals, or you acquire me. By the way, this is happening in accounting firms. This is also happening in financial planning and investment management firms. It's like a huge thing. And guess who's financing it? Private equity. Because those firms do cash flow beautifully, but it requires outside analysis. Soon to be friend of the show at Ben Kelly One, I'd love to bring you on to talk about all of these potential investments that you are touting on social media.
What are the odds that happens?
I don't know, but it would be interesting. Look, I have curiosity.
Yeah, of course.
I'm kind of interested in saying to him, like, so how much are you making from your YouTube videos? That's what I'm really interested in, that more than anything else. But you know what, Mark? When it comes to buying an accounting firm, the numbers just don't add up. Thanks so much to at Ben Kelly One, the gift that keeps on giving, Mark. It's just tremendous this week.
I suspect we'll see him again.
We just may. And thank you all for tuning in. And thanks to everyone on the show who helps make this thing happen. Alan Pang, Justin Sherman, Emma Osman, Isaac Grafstein, Samara Lipman. Did I do it? I'm doing it without looking.
It's a quiz.
Deputy Overlord, Overlord in Chief. Thank you all for giving us this opportunity. Thanks for our new chairs. We love them. Set's getting better every day, don't you think? And thanks to Mark, who wore a beautiful new shirt for this week's shows. You can get in touch with us by going to jillonmoney.com. Click the contact us button. Follow us, share us, promote us, do everything you can. Otherwise, Mark and I are out. We're going to lose it in December. So you got to make this show profitable or else we're done. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Lioness, the hit original series from Taylor Sheridan, is now streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm scared, Joe. Scared how we became that world.
The world didn't become this. It's always been this way.
Starring Zoe Saldana.
Keep running!
Michael Kelly.
You tried to touch us here. It's a two-way street, buddy.
With Morgan Freeman.
The fallout from this is limitless.
And Nicole Kidman.
This isn't the end of a fight. This is the start of one.
Lioness, new season now streaming. Only on Paramount Plus.